Yeah, I don't know. I just look at it as the next game. They're a good team. We have a tremendous amount of respect for them and how they do things, what they do in terms of how they've been able to win multiple division titles. So, yeah, it's the next game for us like it is, I'm sure, for them.
The head coach of the Buffalo Bills, who are headed to the playoffs as the champions of the AFC East. They're still playing for seeding. We welcome in Bob Sosley, the voice of the New England Patriots. He's brought to you by the Peterson School. And I will, of course, tell you more about the Peterson School right now. That is because the Peterson School has been teaching the trades since 1946. They are at the forefront of today's changing world, offering remote learning and updated safe labs in Woburn, Westwood, and Worcester. And Bob Sosley joins us from the broadcast booth at Gillette Stadium. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Bob.
How are you guys tonight?
We're okay. I mean, we're sort of winding down this season like the Patriots are winding down this season. It's been a long time, Bob, since we've had a game that meant absolutely nothing to the New England Patriots. And that is what we have on our hands tonight.
Well, I can't say that it means absolutely nothing to the New England Patriots. I think there are a lot of guys out here tonight playing for jobs, playing for pride. That means something, doesn't it?
Yeah, do you think they might be playing for spite, too? In other words, you know, they can still throw a wrench into the Bills' playoff seeding.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you got some guys on this team who've known nothing but dominance over the Buffalo Bills during their careers. I mean, McDermott, the head coach we heard from coming out of the break, had not won a game as the head coach of the Bills against the Pats. Before the first meeting of these teams, Patriots probably feel, to a man rightfully, that they let that one literally slip away. Cam Newton's fumble, of course, in the final half minute or so, well within field goal range and a chance to tie it up at Orchard Park. So I think that this team has to, you know, go into this game with a lot of guys, a lot of veterans, who may well indeed, if spite is the word, play out of spite. And also to defend their home turf against a team that, again, is trying to win that number two seed, is in position to do so with the tie-breaking advantage over the Steelers head-to-head. And I think that the Patriots certainly would like nothing more than to beat the Bills tonight and prevent Buffalo from celebrating a victory here at Gillette.
So if they are to do that, how will they go about it? What's the best path to a victory for the Patriots?
That's the million-dollar question. You know, the Bills, I think, are a much better team than in Week 8, particularly on defense. Their defense has really started to get healthy. Their defense has played a lot better in recent weeks against the run than it did against the Patriots, who, of course, got a big game out of Damian Harris on that afternoon in Orchard Park. Buffalo, of course, won't have to deal with him tonight. The Bills, conversely, have been so good offensively in the first quarter of the season and especially of late. And I think that you're not dealing with the conditions. It's really a pleasant night here, all things considered, this time of the year at Gillette. They're not dealing with those 25-mile-an-hour winds in Orchard Park when they played the last time. I think Josh Allen has something to prove to the Patriots. We talk about the Pats and their dominance over the Bills. Allen has not played well against the Patriots. He didn't play particularly well in that first meeting between these teams. So I think that, you know, this Buffalo team is a much better group all the way around. Particularly, you look at the four-game winning streak that they're on and the way that they've really dominated of late.
Bob, the team has decided not to activate Julian Edelman. Probably not going to see him next week against the Jets. So have Patriots fans possibly seen the last of Julian Edelman?
Yeah, Jim, you can't help but wonder that. You know, I was thinking about it over the course of the last month and a half or so as Julian has tried to come back on the road to recovery at 34 years of age. He does have some money on at least a guaranteed salary for next year if he wants to come back for the Patriots and if they want him back. But really it isn't very much. You look at it at 34 years of age this year under contract in 2021 with only $2.8 million guaranteed. The fact that he underwent the surgery when he did, I think, tells you about a guy with his threshold for pain and playing through pain with a bone on bone. To take the time during the season when his team desperately needed him, and I'm saying that, I think, without exaggeration, for Edelman to do that gives you some indication of, you know, how affected by the injury he's been. It was evident even when we watched him in training camp, and they tried to put him on a kind of a high-maintenance, low-rep schedule during training camp. So, to me, you look at all the circumstances. If Julian Edelman indeed has played his final game for the Patriots, it would not be altogether surprising to me, but it would be extremely disappointing. This is not the way that you want to see a guy like Julian Edelman, who really poured his heart and soul and his guts into this team during his career to go out, and especially given the way he's played in the most important games in his career.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, and Bob, it may not only be Julian Edelman. It could be Stephon Gilmore has played his last game for the Patriots as well.
Yeah, that's possibly,
different situation, obviously.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, I read what Jeff Howe wrote about, and I was listening to him with you guys a bit earlier, and it's an interesting choice I think the Patriots have with a guy like Gilmore and then a guy like J.C. Jackson. What tender do they put on Jackson? Do they put a first-round tender on him, quite possibly, as some have suggested? And I think the contract for the first-round tender would be around $4 to $4.5 million for next year. And then, of course, if somebody else wants to sign him as a restricted free agent, you get that first-round pick. Or, as Jeff suggested, you put a second-round tender on Jackson in the hopes almost that somebody's going to take him, and then you sign Gilmore to an extension and try to lock Gilmore up for a couple of extra years, especially given his circumstances. Only $7 million next year. Certainly he's not going to play here on that. He's not going to play anywhere on that. But maybe at his age, his best option is to try to work out a deal with the Patriots to extend him for a couple of more years. Maybe their best option is to keep him around given the level he's been playing at. You know, and I think we go back to the choice last week in the Pro Bowl selections for me, and I was wondering, you know, how do they justify the pick of Gilmore over J.C. Jackson? And when I look at it, I think, you know, they probably see who Gilmore has gone against. DeAndre Hopkins. Gilmore against Arizona played well in that game. Gilmore against Keenan Allen. You know, maybe the Patriots, you know, as well as J.C. Jackson has played with his interception totals and his playmaking skills, you know, still have some reason to, you know, question the thought of giving him a lot of money long term. Particularly, again, we've talked about it. He's an undrafted free agent for a reason. And, you know, to me, maybe it does make more sense, as Jeff wrote about, to try to extend Gilmore, make him happy, keep him around, and then, you know, make Jackson a second round tender.
And Bob, before you go, have you and Mark Capello and Jim Louth and everyone else in the booth set an over under as to when Zoe starts yelling about putting in Jarrett Stidham? Sometime in the first quarter.
It was by the third play from scrimmage. So I'm not sure how much under we can go. You know, I was thinking too. I wanted to bring this point up in our conversation briefly because I've been listening to a lot of the guests. I think it's fascinating to me what McDermott and Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Bills, have done. When they took over, McDermott apparently was against the idea of drafting a quarterback in his first year because they had a veteran team and he wanted to try to keep that team competitive, and found if there was a sense in his locker room that they were giving up on that season to put a rookie quarterback in there, then he might lose that locker room. And they got to the playoffs, and they had a terrible showing against Jacksonville in the wild card round, but they got to the playoffs. And over the course of the 4 years he's been the head coach, they have turned over all but two members of their active roster, their practice squad roster, and their injured reserve roster. That's over 70 guys. And the only two remaining are the long snapper, Reed Ferguson, and defensive end, Jerry Hughes. And yet they have gotten to the playoffs 3 of the 4 years he's been there. This is a team that went through a 17-year playoff drought before McDermott became the head coach. And he had to move on from the circus that Rex Ryan left behind. I just think it's really amazing what the Bills have been able to do. Well, again, going to the playoffs 3 or 4 years and completely turning over their roster and, of course, eventually fighting their quarterback. And then when they drafted him, going out and getting Cole Beasley 1 year and Stephon Diggs the next year. They surrounded him with an outstanding supporting cast.
Which tells you that now that they've gotten to the point where they've won the division, they could continue to get better. That it might just be the start of something that lasts a bit longer than, you know, what they've done to this point.
It's sustainable.
Yes. Exactly right. They built it from within there. Bob, appreciate the time. Have a good call tonight, and good luck with your partner there, not losing his mind.
Thanks, Bob.
The season is winding down. You know, I think that hopefully we're in a little more. he's going to be good.
Yeah. Hopefully he's starting to wind down like the rest of us.
Yeah,
all right. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
Bob Soucy from inside the broadcast booth. If you missed any part of this show to this point, Patriots Preview, driven by your New England Honda dealers, will reset it all for you. Coming up next on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network.